Hey, it's Lindley, and you're listening to Married to the Game, a series that explores the lives of professional basketball players through the people who matter the most to them, their partners. Being married to a pro athlete isn't always as glamorous as it looks from the sideline. I'll speak with women from around the world about their experience in the sporting industry. In this episode, I have with me Michelle Weeks, a life coach, a mom, and a former primary teacher. She's also a dear friend of mine and one of my most favorite people I've met in this crazy road life. We spent 4 months together parading around Australia with the New Zealand Breakers last year while she was pregnant, and she seriously rocked it. She's married to Jared Weeks of the NBL Jack Jumpers that made an appearance in the grand final in their debut season a month back. I'm so excited for you guys to hear this one. Enjoy. All right. Thanks, Michelle. Thank you for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you here in my podcast room. Just to introduce you, can you give us a little bit of background, the beginning of you and Jared and how you guys came to be in this basketball life?
So thank you so much for having me on here. I'm super excited to chat with you. So Jared and I have known each other for a very, very long time. We actually went to the same school together, and so we've known each other since we were wee teenagers. We only got together after school, but yeah, we've been in this, or I've been on this journey with him basically from day dot. So where he started in the Kings, he was a development player. So at that point in time, it was completely unpaid. It was basically just like a volunteer spot that they trained with the team, and then did everything else in their life outside of that. So from those days, I was training as a teacher at that point in time. We were based in Sydney, and he would go off and do his thing, and I would go off and do my thing. And yeah, over the years, it kind of just has really evolved into being, I guess, all in on this lifestyle, as obviously his career has developed and grown, and then obviously mine as well. So we started very young and don't hate each other yet, which is a good thing. we're still in it, we're still enjoying each other's company, which is great. And we've managed to see so much of the world and so many different opportunities and people and places over the time. So while there was probably a little resistance from me to begin with, and when I say a little, I mean a lot of resistance from me to begin with, I could not be happier with the life that we have been able to build together since we were teenagers to now in our early 30s. So
Oh my gosh. So it's been like 10 years for you guys, right? Like, how does that feel? Like, how did you feel in the beginning, and looking back, what have you kind of learned? Like, when you think about your life and embarking on this journey, like, what have you learned?
So I think, this will be Jared's 11th professional year in largely, I know he's old, largely in the Australian NBL, but he's played around the world as well. And I think, at the beginning, I definitely was, it's a tough one, because in my head I was like, no, I'm a strong, independent woman, I don't need anyone, you know, screw you and your lifestyle, all of those. Like, there was a lot of resistance from me. And I think that was from a place of, I was obviously, you know, a lot younger, but I almost felt like me embracing the life that we were potentially going to move into was almost me like letting go of some of that like identity of myself. And so there was a lot of resistance from me in the beginning, like, no, I've got my job, I'm stable here. You know, obviously basketball's not the most stable of careers or lifestyles. So there was a lot of resistance for me to start. But what I've probably learned over that amount of time was, and I mean, yeah, it's exciting to look back on and reflect, because if anything, it has done the complete opposite to what I was resisting in the beginning. You know, I think if anything, it has opened me up to this whole identity that, you know, I've developed and grown and learned all these new skills and had all these amazing opportunities in my life, that have like embellished me more than probably anyone as a human being. And if anything, I've learned how to like sink way more into myself and who I am and what I love to do as a result of being in the lifestyle that we live, of being lots of different places, of, you know. And I think also it really helped to build us as a team going forward. Like Jared and I, we were our only support base, you know, in a lot of different circumstances. So it really helped to laid the foundations that were super strong. We've had to learn how to communicate and ask for help and accept help from each other over the years, and really just like we are each other's team, because we often are in places that we don't have any family support around us. Often, you know, we have amazing people around us, but it's not like those, you know, long history relationships or anything like that. So we are the team, you know, and we have to respect each other, and we have to grow with each other in that process instead of it just being one-sided. So I think that's been probably the biggest thing that I've learned over the years, is just to like, from the resistance I felt then to where I am now, just being like, wow, I'm so glad that I said yes to this and that I sank and like I embraced it, because so much has come out of it, like more than I could ever have imagined has come out of it.
Oh my gosh. And I just adore you. I mean, that's how we connected. Like, you've been here in this industry for 10 years and I got to connect with you, and you just like embracing that uncertainty and doing your own thing, like driving for greatness kind of in everything you guys do, has been so inspiring for me to watch. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on this podcast and just have a chat about it, because it's tough. And you know, we're in the off season right now, and you and Jared are in a place where you're in between a 2-year contract, which is amazing. What would you say to those women who are out there that are like between contracts, like Raz and I right now, and we're like, like in the uncertainty, like, where are we going to end up? What are we going to, you know, what are we going to do? And you've been here before. You guys have been here lots of times, I'm sure, before, like last season. And how do you, you know, own that space and make the most of it?
I think it's such a good question, because it's probably, and I'll be the first to admit that it's much easier to talk about it when you do have a contract for the next year. So to like highlight that from off the bat, but there's been many, many situations where Jared hasn't known where he is going to play in the year after. And we've been in an off season and he's playing in an off season comp or league or whatever we call it. And really, I think we've just had to really sink into trusting that he has done the work, and that his, for lack of a better word, his sort of character and his professionalism is something that will carry him through. Like I say, I think I it's easier to say now than it probably was a number of years ago, especially when he was trying to break into the league. But he's had to make some pretty courageous decisions over the years when he hasn't had a contract, or when he has, you know, been been put into a mold and needing to break that. And I guess like an example of that is when he was in the very first stages of his career and he was a development player based in Sydney. It was his hometown. I was there. And he was just really struggling to break out of that development player role. He couldn't trust that there was going to be a fully contracted contract coming his way, or fully signed contract coming his way. And at that point in time, he had to basically make the decision to go overseas and to really break that mold. And that was so scary because, do I leave? Am I ever going to get a job when I come back? And so there's been a couple of those situations where we've just had to trust that things are going to work out, but also almost have an exorbitant amount of courage to make some tricky decisions and hope for the best. And luckily, I think the fact that A, he's a good player, but B, he has that character and that professionalism that has, backed him along the way. And luckily all to date, all of those scary decisions, all those risks that he has taken or that we have taken have paid off. So,
Yeah, and I've had the privilege of knowing Jared, and he's just the best teammate, the best guy. And getting to know you guys, it's been one of the greatest joys of our professional basketball experience so far. So it's been such a pleasure. And I really want to dive into last year before we get into the whole NBL, grand finals of this year. Yes. I kind of want to dissect last year just because I think it was such a special, tough, unique, interesting time. And I want to dive into your experience specifically because last year, for those that don't know, Michelle and I were with our partners in the New Zealand Breakers who were unhomed due to COVID. We were living in Australia on the road and Mick here was pregnant. Completely pregnant for the whole time.
Quite pregnant.
Well, we were jumping around and I just wanted you to talk about that experience. And I know there's lots of women out there that are like, do you have kids in this lifestyle? How do you have kids in this lifestyle? Mm-hmm. How do you make it happen? And you did it so gracefully. What was that like for you last year?
It's very, very kind. I don't know if graceful came into it, but I appreciate that. last year was definitely a unique experience. One that was probably the most challenging of Jared's career for a multitude of different reasons. But definitely one that we've come away from it thinking yes, at times it was a shit show, but also at times it was such an amazing experience for us to live with incredible people and experience these things that no one else really in the whole world would ever experience in that sense. So it was one that we cherish closely, and I'm sure with time we'll learn to cherish it more and more closely. we'll give it a little bit of time to settle.
Distance makes the heart grow fonder. So.
exactly. But yes, I was very pregnant at the time. And look, I mean, I think the whole idea of embracing the lifestyle I had to sink into a lot. At one point in time, I was registered at four different hospitals. We had no idea where we were going to have our little now Freddie. Had no idea if it was going to be near family, away from family. We had no idea if we were going to be, no idea about our medical team, what that was going to look like. So there were definitely times where it was overwhelming and scary. But luckily, and I'm very thankful that I had a very uncomplicated pregnancy. So I was very healthy the whole way through. Freddie just, did what he should do. And I was lucky, definitely, yeah, that was the case, because I think that allowed us to, or allowed me to continue to be with Jared throughout the whole season, and obviously with you guys. And I'm very grateful that I felt so well the whole way through the pregnancy. Mm. I think we had to look at a couple of different scenarios and stay a bit flexible in those. So, you know, we looked at the scenario that we were in at that current point in time. We looked at, you know, if this happens, maybe we could do this, or if this happens, maybe we could do this, all the way down to plan Z. But it did definitely help to know that there were some alternatives. And while they may not have been, you know, the most ideal alternatives, luckily for us, we knew that there could be a plan, and we knew that we kind of, no matter where we went, we had a wonderful medical system that we could trust in, and we just kind of had to go with the flow and realize that, I mean, for us, it was more important for me at that point in time to be with Jared than it was for me to kind of go home, and like home being Sydney, where my family is, and to maybe like set up some kind of space there to be able to spend those last couple of months. But luckily and fortunately for me, I stayed well the whole way through, and was able to stay with Jared. And then, he was in, I mean, we were locked down when Freddie arrived. But I think, staying flexible, knowing that, you know, at the end of it, the goal is to have a really healthy child, and being able to recognize that, yes, the journey might look and feel and be a certain way, but I really did a lot of mindset work around trying to embrace that and not feeling like I was missing out or anything like that, because my priorities were to stay with Jared and for us to kind of experience that as a family going through it as well.
And you guys were such troopers. I just remember, you know, having these like really tough conversations, like, you know, where's the nearest hospital? What happens if I get sick? Like, you know, after how many weeks are you not allowed to fly? Like, it was like, are we going to have to take a boat to an island? Like, it was like, we were on tap. Like, it was this whole, you know, thing. And when you think back to it, like in hindsight, we're like, oh yeah, you know, it turned out, and it did. I mean, Freddie is just like the apple of every woman's eye. I mean, if anyone out there has met Freddie, he's like the most adorable, darling baby like that there ever was, like should be a baby model. And he's so happy, and we love him dearly. And maybe that shaped him, you know, but back then it was like full on, and it was raw. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to figure out, you and Jared, but
all of us at the coffee table. Yes.
How we're going to get through. And you know, and that's just a beautiful success story about how it all comes together in the end. And it gives me, you know, confidence. But I wanted to actually walk backwards just a little bit, back to your time in New Zealand, and ask you what it was like, you know, being an expatriate, living in a new country, navigating work, the health system, the basketball. I mean, they speak English, Kiwis, of course, but what was that like for you?
Yeah, such a good question. I think, so we have done, obviously we did a couple of years in New Zealand. We've also done some time in Germany, in Europe as well. So speaking to that, I guess, I've said this a few times, but just trying to go in with fresh eyes instead of going in with expectation, because I think, for me, I think when I'm comparing things all the time, I find it really tricky to just kind of embrace and enjoy where I am there. So trying to go in with some fresh eyes and being like, what about this experience can I learn from? Can I enjoy? Can I grow from? Can I learn from, you know, can I embrace, really? And that has always been the way that I've tried to approach any new situation that we're in, whether it's in this country, in another country, different languages, etc. So through those eyes, I was then able to say, okay, what do we need around us? Like, what are the absolute vital things that we need? And if that's a doctor, or if that's someone to help us with the language, or if that's paperwork, etc., trying to start there so that we can feel like we have a reference point. And usually in a basketball club, usually there's someone around that helps with that. And I guess that's really lucky for us going into a system whenever we move. There's often people that are very helpful, very willing, and very knowledgeable to help us in that circumstance. So I think asking for help is one that I had to learn over time, instead of just stewing over it and like letting it eat me away, is just being like, okay, what do I need right now? Who can I ask? And then actually asking for and accepting help, which can feel daunting at times.
That's so good. Yeah. I love that. What do we need around us? And that's such a great question. Like, how do you fortify yourself? Those people are there. They are. And also you have to reach out and ask for help and try to find, and try to build yourself. You know, how do you fortify your little two-person pod, your little community? Now you're a three-person pod, you know, but it's how do you get there? And kind of in that same vein, how do you find making friends in a new community? How do you find community and, really live your best life in a place where, you know, it might be, you know, you guys are in Tassie now, that's new. Like, how do you do that?
I think we've been very fortunate that almost every team that we have been a part of have had incredible people involved. In every team, we have not yet been to a team where it's been, like a dodgy situation to be a part of. So luckily we've had that community almost inbuilt when we move somewhere, and there's always partners or family or friends or etc. that are very welcoming. And I think, you know, it goes both ways. Like, we come in there wanting to make a community. So we do reach out, we put ourselves out into these often unknown and scary situations regularly, which sometimes can feel pretty exhausting, because you're always you're always the new person, or you're always having to build relationships from scratch. But I've found that it's been 100% worth it for the people that we've met and lifelong friends, really, that we've been able to embrace along the way. The other thing that I always try to do is join a gym. Usually is my go-to, but join some kind of activity outside of basketball, because
great advice.
Because when often in, especially in smaller communities, it's very much about the basketball, and you're only ever talking about basketball or seeing basketball people, which is lovely, but it's so nice to have that balance of just like, yeah, these are my people. Like, I'm taking Jared along to something, you know, or building those relationships that are not necessarily connected to anything to do with him or basketball. And for me, I found usually the gym that I would join, or I was a teacher for a long time, the school that I would join often would have wonderful people. So that's, I always try to find one thing outside of the basketball community that is kind of just mine, and I can explore those relationships however it looks.
I love that. That is such good advice. I love to be able to have my own thing as well outside of Raz. Okay, but speaking on community, let's talk about the Jack Jumpers. So a huge congrats to both you and Jared and the whole crew on the grand final appearance here in your debut season, which was like, I mean, they kept calling it a Cinderella story. Like, you guys were, you know, in every projection, like at the bottom. I mean, you know, everybody was saying, you know, oh, you know, it'll be their debut season. Anyways, you guys came up from the bottom and just rocked it and ended up in the finals. What was that like? What goes into that? Like, what have you found? How did they find success? And you from the outside, on the inside, like, how, like, what did you experience?
It's such a good question. It was such an amazing season, such an amazing season. And such a huge kudos goes out to you know, the entire organization, because from every single person in the whole organization bought into the culture that they wanted. And I think from the outset, they knew that they were recruiting from the front office to the back office, to the volunteers, to the players, to the coaches, everyone involved. They were recruiting based on character. And that was just like mind blowing for me, because it was something that, you know, you have a whole group of incredible people that are coming together that have been told from the outset, like, we want you to buy in. And they're like, we want to buy in. and so being a part of an experience like that, where you have, just everyone looking out for each other, everyone willing to put in the work, everyone believing from the outset that if we do these things, we are going to be successful. And in the end, that's exactly what happened. They, you know, everyone was part of the success, and it was just, yeah, it was amazing to see, not only for the team and the organization, but for the club and the state and all the people of Tasmania that suddenly have been searching for something to get behind for so many years. And it brought the whole state together, and people, you know, just, it really galvanized everything to do with basketball in Tasmania, which was something that, you know, I will probably never be, well, we won't be a part of ever again, because it's not often that you get to start with the new club and really help build that culture. So that was a big selling point for Jared, because he's always been about culture in teams. So as soon as he got the call, he was, sign me up. I'm so excited to get down there and to help, you know, build this ship and get it sailing. And especially for him in the later part of his career, you know, that's something that he can really be proud of going forward, is what they managed to establish in this first year. And then certainly, you know, in many of the years to come as well.
Incredible. So in the early days of this season, like, thinking back, when Jared's coming home and unpacking his day, like, what are the things that you're starting to notice about the team, the organization? Did Jared see this coming, is my other question. Did you see it coming? Like, what was it like?
Look, the biggest thing that I noticed in Jared was that he was happy. And that might seem a little cliche to say, but certainly over the last couple of years, he's been really challenged, down to the core of who he is as a player and his value and what he can contribute to a team. And just being able to see him come home and like have that pep in his step and feel like he is really contributing was something that I noticed. And just seeing him really happy was like, you know, that's all you want really for your family is to see them happy. So that was what I noticed. In terms of did we see it coming? I probably don't know enough about that side of things. I know certainly the boys have said from day one, like, we were in, like, we believed from day one, we knew that we could do it. I'm not necessarily a part of the everyday running side of things. Like, I'm certainly not at any of their trainings or anything like that. But just seeing Jared happy and seeing this team of fantastic people come together and like have friendships and just enjoy, like, you could see everyone was just really enjoying what they were doing, and then having that like translate to results, certainly in the latter part of the season. The beginning part of the season was a little bit tricky, so I think they had to believe even more in that period of time. And, you know, obviously there's always teething problems with anything new. So really just being open to figuring out what their roles were, figuring out what the organization was, and how everyone fits together. And then, like I said, buying into that, which, definitely towards the end, it paid off. And having in any job, in any place in life, I believe, like having people that are happy and valued and knowing, knowing that they are part of a bigger, a bigger movement is certainly a way to success. That's for sure.
Maybe just touch a little bit on Scott Roth, if you can. Like us women in the league have had like, you know, a coach just crush on him like all year. We're like, oh my God, he's amazing. Like, he's so good. Like, what is he doing? And that, like, we also laugh because it's like he, in the huddles, like when the cameras are on, he's like, here, here, here. And we're like, what is he saying? He's got some kind of like special code. Like, we're like, you know, what's he like? Is he like got this like special bond with the guys? Like, what, you know, what did he do for your team?
Yeah. Oh, look, he's incredible. He's, I think, obviously at the helm of the ship, which is someone who has come in and from the very beginning has just valued the people that are around him, has put an extraordinary amount of work into building this thing. And I don't know enough about, you know, like the back end stuff, but I can speak of what he has done for us and our family. And that has just been from day one, you know, when Freddie and I arrived into training, coming over, giving us the biggest cuddle ever, you know, like he's such a mountain of a man, and just being able to, like, you know, be cuddled by him and genuinely caring for us and asking us, you know, how the transition was, listening to the feedback, seeing any extra support that we might need, and then actioning that, and just always being someone, I guess, that you can see when they ask you how you are or what's going on, or, you know, if you need anything, that you actually genuinely, like, he's in that, you know, he's not, it's not just words, it's he genuinely connects with and is invested in getting to know people as people before anything to do with, you know, basketball or any professional sense. So, I've been blown away. And I mean, obviously he has an incredible team behind him as well, who are all just as wonderful at doing that exact same thing. And again, that goes back to the recruiting that they did from the start. But I think in any professional environment, when the person that's leading the ship or is at the helm, you know, walks the walk and talks the talk and sets the example and has the expectations and those don't waver, I think that's a great way to then help people to know where they stand, to recognize how they can get feedback and then to buy into whatever it is in whichever direction it's going.
Amazing. I mean, behind the breakers this last year, I've been a Jack Jumper fan.
Like, lots of Jack people are.
Unless it was breakers, then it was Jack Jumpers. Like,
love it. Yes.
So fun to watch. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I want to shift gears here. So when's Freddie's birthday, by the way?
Freddie is on the 30th of June, so less than a month old, less than a month before he is 1 year old.
1 year. So
it's crazy.
You are almost, you know, you're in your first year of motherhood. We're almost to birthday number one. You know, what are these lessons that you take in, are like lessons that you've learned along the way that you take into motherhood? And, you know, how is it logistically being a mom in this life?
Yeah. Look, I think flexibility and ability to adjust quickly is something that has well and truly helped me into motherhood. Because there was some real adjusting happening logistically and just as obviously as a family going from two to three. I had done a lot of mindset work. I'm a mindset coach and a life coach outside of it. So I was really lucky to have spent, you know, the last couple of years really understanding my mindset and how that impacts how I experience my everyday life. So being able to learn some of those skills and to implement them into my journey as a mother was probably the biggest thing that impacted that transition into motherhood. But I think a couple of the things that I find really or have been really tricky is just not having family support around. And I know that a lot of people that have kids in this lifestyle are in a similar position. Right. You know, you're moving away from home, there's no support around. And that's something that we are still navigating, because there's definitely days, especially from my sense, you know, Jared goes off and he's away for a lot of the time, or his commitments are very, you know, stringent. He has to be at places at certain times, whereas so it means that I kind of have to be a little bit more flexible when things like sickness come around, or, you know, daycare is closed or whatever it may be. So I've definitely found challenges in that. Again, I think just coming back to, like, what can we do to support Freddie best, and what can we do to support myself best while Jared is off doing the things that he has to do to support him best too. So,
and what are those things? Like, what are you, how do you fortify in that area? You know?
Yeah. So the big one for me was putting Freddie into daycare. Yeah. That was a huge one for me. And just deciding what kind of daycare that looked like. So for us, that was family daycare, which is, for anyone that doesn't know, it's basically someone who runs the daycare out of their own home. They have the same conditions and restrictions and expectations that a daycare center would have, but it's smaller numbers in their home. So for me, that was a big one, because I knew that for a long time I would balance my work and Freddie and just get someone to come in and babysit when I was face to face with clients. But after an amount of time, I kind of realized that I actually need him out of my space so that I can switch on and put my professional hat on without even considering what he's doing. Even though he was always well looked after and cared for and all those things, you still, when he's in your space, have that like little mental think about, oh, what is he doing? So daycare was a big one for me. And also just so taking advantage of things like the creche at the gym, or people that might offer to babysit, like you guys, you know, like having people around that are like, look, we'll come and babysit. And instead of trying to be you know, the martyr all the time and be like, no, it's okay, like just being like, you know what, that would actually be amazing, we would love that. And giving us a little bit of reprieve around and knowing obviously you have to trust those people and all of that, but we've been very lucky to know and trust a lot of people around us. So taking those opportunities, asking for help, accepting help, and just really getting clear on what is it that I need, what is it that the child needs, and what is it that you need, and how can we make those decisions together as a family? And sometimes specifically financially, I think, is probably one of the big thought processes, especially when you're not making millions of dollars. You can be like, oh, is it worth it to pay this to you know, to go to daycare when I could juggle? But really looking at that and being like, no, for me, this is what I need.
No, I'd rather be sane.
Totally, to be sane and to be the best version of myself.
Amazing. Okay, so tell us a little bit about what you do. I've absolutely loved watching you do your work on social media, the work that you're doing. I love the work that you're doing. I think many people are drawn to you for the type of raw, genuine energy that you have. And I think that's just like a gift that you're born with. And you're so magnetic. And you do such good work. Tell us what it is that you're doing right now and that you're really excited about.
Yes. So I am a life coach. So I'm a life and mindset coach. I help mums at this point in time, and my business has evolved over time, but at this point in time, I help mums to really understand their mindset so that they are able to really invite calmness and presence and to prioritize themselves and reconnect with themselves in their own daily lives. So like I said before, the mindset work that I had done prior to becoming a mum was the single most impactful thing that supported me, particularly in our lifestyle, but even just with a new child. And when I looked around, I was so taken aback at how many programs there were for sleeping, for eating, for every program that you could ever think of that was out there for the child, and routines, etc. And yet there were very, very, very few programs that really helped mums and helped them in their mindset to be able to really embrace each day as a mum. So at that point in time, I sort of did a bit of a pivot in my business, because I was a life coach for teachers. I was a primary school teacher for a lot of years. And then going through that transition and just seeing how much of a need there was for mums who were juggling so many different things in their life at every point in time in the child's life. So I work with some clients that have adult children. I have, you know, teenagers, young kids, babies, and really just supporting them in their own life, because they are the central cog of their world, helping them to really be settled and anchored into who they are and what they need and how their mindset impacts their day and how they want to show up in the world, and then allowing that to kind of flow through the rest of their world. So through to their kids, through to their work, through to their partners, their families, their boundaries, all of those sorts of things really are impacted by them anchoring into themselves first. So
beautiful.
Yeah, I just
so beautiful.
Love what I do. I'm so grateful and so amazed by the people I work with, and just the changes and the rewards that they see when they invest in themselves. So yeah.
I love hearing you talk about it, because it's so inspiring. I mean, I think, you know, up top, like your mind, I mean, that's all you got, you know, at the end of the day. And I think anyone, you know, moms, sports specifically, like how tough do you have to be up top to really, you know, make a dent in this life at large. So I love hearing you talk about, I joke about having a kid just to be in your program. I love what you're doing. Okay. So let's see, how long are you guys expecting, to be in this industry, and, you know, what's the long-term like end goal?
Look, this is probably where Jared and I would have different answers to this question.
It's
funny. We do joke about it, but Jared is 33 this year, so he's well and truly on the back end of his career. And by no means does that mean that he is not able to contribute and all of those sorts of things, but he's you know, entered the veteran stage of his career. So he is still really loving it and really engaged in it. And luckily his body has responded really well as well. So he might have, he will have a couple of years left in him. So we have one more contract for one more year with the Jack Jumpers. And then obviously after that, we're not quite sure. For Jared, I know that he, in the end, his goal is to get into coaching. So this lifestyle is something that is probably longer term for us.
Yeah.
Obviously, coaching takes on a whole nother level of commitment and dedication and hours, but in a similar sense, it's a similar lifestyle of contract work and travel and, you know, on and off season. So, I love... Luckily, it took me a couple of years, but I love the life that we live. And I've said to Jared a few times over the years, you know, to the beginning where I was like, no, I'm a homebody. I love home. I never want to leave. It's so great. You're taking me away to evolving and like really loving this lifestyle. And now if we had to go back to a quote unquote normal lifestyle after this, I feel like I would probably be the one that would transition back into that. But, you know, in saying that, we've never really been able to make choices ahead of time. We've always just said, you know, we can trust in the process. We know that when opportunities arise, we can make a decision then as to whether or not it's a fitting decision for us, and kind of approaching it from that perspective has worked for us for a very long time. So I think we'll probably continue on with that approach, and then see how, you know, what comes of it from here. And the only thing that is guaranteed is that his career will end from a playing perspective.
They all will, and right? Like,
exactly.
So we just inevitable.
Exactly. So the goal at the moment is to soak that up, to have a think about, have a think about opportunities and continue to enjoy this process, with, you know, obviously with awareness of what is next as well, and just really allowing us to trust in the process and know that it will work out, because it always has, and he's done everything he can to put everything in place for that to be the case going forward too.
So good. We're huge Weeks fans, all the three of you, like whatever you guys do. you as a business owner, you know, Jared, wherever he goes, and we'll be super excited to see Freddie as he grows up and embarks on his little journey in life. But you guys will undoubtedly end up in amazing places, and I can't wait to watch Jared in this next season with the Jack Jumpers. So here's my final question for you. What is one thing that you would tell someone, probably specifically a woman, about to embark on this lifestyle? You know, she's in her early 20s, you know, her partner's out of college or right off the top of the DP list, and they're headed into this lifestyle somewhere crazy. Like, what would you say to her?
There are so many things that I could say, but I think to just really take it as an opportunity to embrace a wild roller coaster of life, and to know that they're, you know, not to necessarily expect it to be all, you know, sunshine and rainbows. It's not that by any chance, but when you can be in it and to embrace it and just to like enjoy the process as much as you can, I guarantee you that by the end of your time in this lifestyle, it will be something that you just look back on and you think, like, wow, I really, like, I squeezed the heck out of every part of this last however many years. And it's something that not a lot of people in this world get to experience. And if you can just jump on it and really embrace it, enjoy the opportunities, enjoy the people, enjoy the places, your world will be so much richer as a result. And you can figure things out as you go. I think that's a big part of that. Everything is figure outable. So you, as you go, new hurdles, new things that come your way, you will be able to figure it out. And that may mean asking for help, or that may be seeking support or whatever it is. But if you can really embrace that and know that you, you can figure everything out, there's such a wealth of experience and enjoyment and adventure that awaits.
Ah, my heart. I adore you. I want to thank you.
I adore you too.
Thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. Every time I chat with you, it's like a breath of fresh air, just like on my life, on our energy, everything. You're amazing. And I just want to thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
You're the best. Thank you so much for having me. Again, like I've said so many times, meeting people like you and Raz on our journey has enriched not only the life that we live, but the people that we are, and we're so, so grateful to have you guys in our lives, and we can't wait for what's ahead for you guys, because you're a couple of years behind us, and I know that the roller coaster is just, you know, going to really light up soon, so it's going to be amazing.
Oh, tear. I miss you.
Come back.
Cool. All right. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening. And if you've got questions, DM them to me at Miss Lindley on Instagram. I've got more exciting guests lined up for you. Thanks for tuning in. You know, man.